You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me, people. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. This is the Juneteenth Day weekend. That's right. The Juneteenth Day weekend. I'm quite sure in whatever locale you are in, there should be some festivities going on. And hope that you're able to take part in them and enjoy the sights and sounds and food and camaraderie of our people. I'll talk about that in a little more detail in a minute. But this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, man. Other programming. Oh, also, too, you can use the shortcut, whatever search engine you use, you know, Google, Firefox, whatever, and put it in a search. BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net, BabaOshi.net. And once again, programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, of course, is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And Time for an Awakening tonight at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then Sunday at 7 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. So, and, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bumani Tahima has taken a number of our people on the tour of a lifetime. And his next upcoming tour is going to be November 16th through the 27th to Tanzania. Then December 24th to January 4th, 2024 to Azania. March 29th to April 9th, Liberia. July 11th through July 23rd, 2024, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, 2024, Kemet. April 1st through April 11th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. And, of course, you can go on the website and get all kinds of information, all the written information that you need, you know, all the and shots, visas, and so forth, information on land sale, information on investing and repatriation, the Pan-African community in Ghana. So all kinds of good stuff on AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And, of course, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, just go to YouTube. No, excuse me. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Okay, I got that out. Habashah. Habashahincorporated.org. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And all the projects that they have, the Habashah Works projects, Black Tar Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project that was launched back in October of last year, because the buildings are complete and it's up and running. I would love to go there when I get to Ghana again. And quite sure I know I'll go to Ghana. Look forward to checking it out. Also, too, brothers and sisters, they have the Organic Fest this month, June 24th, from noon to 8 p.m. at 477 Windsor Street here in Atlanta, 30321 zip code. And they're going to have garden tours and workshops, a Kumba Children's Corner, holistic food vendors, and live entertainment, live music and entertainment. That's Organic Fest, put on and presented by Habashah Incorporated.org. The Ledge Group. Ledge stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The Ledge Group, they deal in areas of human existence that are vital to human existence. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Abibia Tumi, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I, abibiatumi.com. Yes, that's right. They have their conference coming up, the African Power Conference, July 7th through the 9th. So it's already the middle of June, so that's going to be coming up quick. Family, education, military, institutional, economic, agricultural, technological, family, community, nation, and power. And that's going to be held in Ghana at their headquarters of Abibia Tumi. And you'll also catch it online via abibiatumi.com. Plan to do so. Yes, sir. abibiatumi.com. Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY, smyfarmacy.com. Brothers and sisters, give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751. Talk to him about what's going on with your health and life, the medications that you're on. He'll come up with a more holistic approach, help you get off them, you know, prescription drugs, them hard narcotics, okay? That's right, Smy Pharmacy. Or you drop him an email at smyfarmacy@gmail. Smyfarmacy@gmail. smaifarmacy@gmail.com. Brother Moses West and the Moses West Foundation. Brothers and sisters, he provides clean water. I just saw a piece today on the news on Arizona. And, of course, Arizona and Nevada and New Mexico, they have issues because they're in the southwest, and water's been drying up there for now years thanks to climate change. And of course, those states, and just like the state of California, get their water from the Colorado River, and the Colorado River is drying up. That's why, to me, one of the alternatives, you know, for immediate, as you develop other ways to bring water into communities via underground pipe is through the atmospheric water generator. Put the machine up, sucks the moisture out the air, goes through a filterization process, open the tap up, and there, my brother and sister, is clean, safe drinking water to communities worldwide through sustainable missions. Veteran, the brothers of veteran and the
American African owned nonprofit organization. We're dedicated to making the lasting impact on the global water crisis. With our innovative atmospheric water generation technology, we address disaster impact zones, water scarcity, and water rescue. Your contribution helps us fulfill our mission to improve access to clean water. Support us today and help change the world. Ashe, Brother Moses and the Moses West Foundation. Wadadas. Wadadas Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End, here in Atlanta, on Ralph Dibbert Abernathy, across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonnas. Well, they have delicious fruit smoothies. I got that out. All kinds of pastries and pies. And they have vegan dishes on Saturday and Sunday. So tomorrow and Sunday, they'll serve vegan dishes at Wadadas. All kinds of good stuff at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Mama Nia at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, gift certificates, figurines, and so much more. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia, that is east of Atlanta, on off of I-20, Google I-20 East. Get off on exit 74. Make a left. Now you're headed north. And on about a mile on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, Brother Kazimdi Ajamu. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. 7-3. And then jump back on Main Street in Lithonia. And now you're going to be headed south. Still take that left to head east. The next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right onto Turner Hill Road. Three lights, make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. One of the vendors in the Black Wall Street Market. I believe my brother Mike McGee. I believe my brother Mike McGee is gone from the Black Wall Street Market, unfortunately. But I know one is hanging strong, and I know he'll probably be at the Juneteenth. That's the brother with Afroletics, the African Senate Sportswear Afroletics. You know, the Dogon, Star C, the Omex, the Moors, the Heroes, the Zulus. Right, nice apparel, man. My daughter bought me a T-shirt, a Marcus Garvey T-shirt, last year for Father's Day, I think it was. Whatever, might have been for my birthday. Who knows? Don't remember. Then that's the new Black Wall Street Market. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Us lifting us, Ulu. Us lifting us. Their Thursday night broadcast last night. Every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. You can call to listen or give questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's us lifting us. Also on Fridays, I make them. Make a mention of my good brother, Yusuf Muhammad. I was on his program last Friday from EDI New Orleans. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And to listen, you just dial 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And to me, that's a serious thing that you need to listen to, because all around, like right now in the southeast, in the lower portion of the southeast, they're going through some serious storms. And of course they had a tornado that just wiped out that one city. Yeah, brothers and sisters, they're gonna be coming at you. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Beaches got it going on, family. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. 256-1166. He's open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and he has got it all. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premises. So check out Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. Give my good sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Aidi, brothers and sisters, Sister Gabby has been doing great work with the children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. If she was not doing this work, the children would not be able to attend school, have health care, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. This is serious work that she's doing, and she needs our help. Go to the website. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, Sanjay-Haiti.org. The Burundis, I don't have anything that the Burundis got. Well, you know, they got the classes that starts Monday, tutoring classes that start Monday, June 19th. You know, but if you want to give them a call, you know, or drop them a line, Akabin House or Akabin Institution. Akabin House is where the books are sold. But if you just want to make a contribution, either through PayPal or Cash App. Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. All right. The Inyasisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasisim. Daily Revolutionary Thought. I gotta put my glasses on here. Yeah, that's better. That's much better. Man. Okay. June 15th. There is an anger that wakes up in you when you are a child, and it builds up and determines the political consciousness of the African man. Winnie Mandela. Europeans are quite clear as to the threat of our ever-rising consciousness to their empire. They militarily operate in a fashion so systematically subvert, reduce, and wherever possible, permanently remove this threat. They operate on the principle of reducing threats by removing their sources. If there are no dissidents, there is no threat. And even though their public displays of this violence against humanity are beyond moral reason, covertly, they do even more damage in their efforts to gain a future numerical advantage. They know what they do now will determine where they will find themselves later in the global game of power and privilege. It's called strategic planning. Ever successful military forces do this. Every successful military force does this. Think about the fact that when a young African male or female is murdered, he or she is not the only one murdered. Every individual that person was ever to produce through the end of the line of his or her time, generations, is murdered. In the long run, this is a hidden genocidal accelerant because this intergenerational genocide does not show up in the statistics. Here, genocide is not even detected or defined as such because those who are murdered were never born. Those who work this evil against us know to poison the roots. Affirm, I am politically awake. Affirm, I am politically awake. June 16th, the eye which sees the smoke will look for fire, African proverb. It is because of what has happened to virtually every African warrior of worth in this oppressive anti-African reality that we so easily expect the defenders of our dignity and honorable place in human landscape of time to do not speak truth or finally betray their words once they are challenged by agents of the dominant power. We expect them to either be quiet, imprisoned, ostracized, or assassinated. And this is why most who know them, who in their heart of hearts are so proud and respecting of them, hoping that they will win, but themselves not courageous enough to believe in the possibilities of liberation, become so surprised and impressed when these heroes and sheroes of the African way refuse to stop speaking truth, knowing they may painfully and immeasurably suffer and die for it. Such emboldened spirits are so unusual in a culture of liars and unprincipled weaknesses that it causes awe and shock in those who witness it, when in reality it should be the norm. Ashe, it should be the norm. Affirm, I uncompromisingly defend the dignity and honor of African people. Affirm, I uncompromisingly defend the dignity and honor of African people. June 17th, if there is something I don't understand, I begin to read history backwards. The Honorable Julius Nyerere of Tanzania. Just because two distinct populations exhibit similar collections of qualities out of the total possibilities of human thought and behavior does not mean that the choices were a function of chance. Particular populations make conscious selections out of the range of human possibilities as to what fits them. These selections fully reflect who they are, have always been, and will always be. We must look beyond just being human for casual factors. For if just being human were the reason for such choices, then all peoples would fundamentally be the same. We also have to consider the fact that some people find themselves acting in opposition to their nature. They end up thinking and acting against what they historically have always been. This anomaly must be analyzed exactly for what it is, the consequences of some form of enforced duress. Having been convinced that the way of our ancestors is backwards and wrong, we are in a situation which is against our will and where we cannot express ourselves as we truly are. Such a cultural contradiction, having been extended over scores of generations, has led to a state of cultural amnesia where we have come to forget, even violently reject, who we naturally are. Damn. Affirm, I read our story backwards and forwards. Affirm, I read our story backwards and forwards. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sasem, the Inya Sasem of daily revolutionary thought. Ashe. Yeah. This is Juneteenth Day weekend. And some places, they don't celebrate Juneteenth Day on June 19th. You know, they've done the Juneteenth holiday like they've done Memorial Day and Labor Day. You know, it's the Monday, Dr. King's birthday, you know, second Monday, and this Monday closer to the June 19th celebration. But of course, Juneteenth Day is this Monday. Juneteenth Day is this Monday. So from a national holidays perspective, it's on point. But the celebration is this weekend for many, except Milwaukee. Milwaukee celebrates Juneteenth, and Galveston, Texas, where Juneteenth Day started, is when the General Granger went into Galveston, and they even put a placard by the building where he was on the balcony and reading the proclamation. You know, yeah. Still, you know, brothers and sisters, it was always bothered me that one of the things that is the truth about Juneteenth Day, is that them crackers got 2.5 more years of free labor out of our people. It was June 19th, 1865. It was January 1st, 1863 that the emancipation went down, you know. But they got the call. And there's a few other places that didn't get the call initially, and they got the call on around June 19th or any other time around that way, west of the Mississippi. So, yeah, June 19th, Juneteenth Day. A lot of good activities around the country. Hope in where you are, there are some things happening. In fact, give us a call. Let us know what's happening in your locale, in terms of June 19th. I know here in Atlanta, Brother Bob Johnson has been putting on Juneteenth Day for many years. And I'm not sure which. I think it's the 9th. The 11th annual Juneteenth Parade and Music Festival for the weekend. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Yep. Join us for the 11th annual Juneteenth Parade and Music Festival for the weekend of family, friends, and fun. This high-spirited celebration of freedom, unity, and equality is known for fulfilling Centennial Olympic Park and the streets of Atlanta with the soulful sound of live music, amazing handmade merchandise from local and international vendors, mouth-watering cuisine, and an array of immense cultural activities for all attendees. To heighten this already extraordinary experience, the event blosters a vibrant televised parade that's going to be tomorrow. They're going to televise the parade featuring captivating floats, colorful dance troupes, community youth organizations, mesmerizing marching bands, and the esteemed local and national dignitaries. Join us as we commemorate the historic day of Juneteenth, making the emancipation of captives here in America, of African captives. We welcome you to be a part of this monumental event where community, equality, human rights, and justice for all emerge to create the better world for future generations. Ashe. Yeah. I'm going to talk Monday more about Juneteenth Day in terms of, I'm going to try to give the information out there for what's happening. But if you've heard me, you know, I'm down with Juneteenth. I remember in Milwaukee, we had the first Juneteenth, one of the first in this country, family. Milwaukee had one of the first Juneteenths in this country. And that was 1971. I was a young man then, and I attended, had a ball. It was a street festival. It was 3rd Street then. Now it's MLK, Martin Luther King Jr. Drive now, you know. And wasn't the many blocks as it is now. I think it's 4 or 5 blocks. Yeah, let me see. Brian, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 blocks. Then I think it was just 3. But anyway, it was great. And on June 19th, and we've been having Juneteenth Day on June 19th ever since. The only one I think other does, there might be some others, I shouldn't say that, but more than likely I know Galveston, Texas. Galveston, Texas is the one that has June 19th. And then that's because, you know, that's where it happened. That's where Granger read the Emancipation. And, of course, they have, you know, Galveston is right there on the Gulf, and they have amusement park and all kinds of other stuff that lends to the experience for Juneteenth, you know, in that area. And I'm trying to see what the highlights are going to be this year in Galveston. Best ways to celebrate Juneteenth in Galveston, the birthplace of Juneteenth. They got some drumming going on, of course. And marching bands, the parade, the Beach and Music Festival, Galveston United, Saturday. 8 live music performances that are going to be happening. The parade and cookout, Juneteenth, music performances and film screenings. Yeah. Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis at the Grand on the 17th. That's tomorrow. The Grand 1894 Opera House. They're going to be doing a Juneteenth Day performance there. Emancipation Celebration at the Grand 1894 Opera House. Zydeco music for those who like to hear them accordions and the Zydeco music. So, yeah. And then there's a ball. Sneaker ball, okay. Tickets are $85. Oh, man, is that right? Juneteenth sneaker ball. That's going to be on Sunday from 8 to 1 a.m. at the Moody Gardens Hotel and Spa at the Convention Center in Galveston. Yeah. A nice gala for Juneteenth in Galveston. It's going to be located at the Austin Villa. That's going to be, that was yesterday. Yes, like I said, some just have a lot going on. They have a Juneteenth Freedom Scholarship Ball, and that's gonna be tomorrow. That's gonna be Sunday, excuse me. That's gonna be Sunday from seven a.m. to 11 a.m. The Victorian, yeah, Juneteenth Freedom Ball. So they wrap a lot of things around Juneteenth, and that's cool, you know. And I know I heard a piece from Roland Martin where he was saying in his on radio throughout the country, they had little clips of him and a few other people. And he was saying, no, we should not just celebrate. He didn't say don't celebrate. But he was saying it's not celebratory. What we should do is find ways to pull our money to really be free. Because, you know, really, honestly, we celebrate Juneteenth. It was Emancipation Day, Freedom Day. And we've never been. And we ain't now. Every statistic, every negative statistic, more profound in us than anybody else. No. That's why I'm very angry at what the AU did in changing the name of African Liberation Day to Africa Day. Africa Day. That ain't, that ain't nothing. But when you say African Liberation Day, that means you're serious about Africa being liberated and independent and self-determining and sovereign. You're serious about that. So when you talk about Juneteenth Day, a day, and you know, the other thing is that I have issue with, of course, is the, Juneteenth Day flag. Yeah, the Juneteenth Day flag. Because we don't need no, I seen the Juneteenth Day flag, And I'm saying to myself, we don't need no, and there's a few others too. There's a one where you're breaking the chain. So there's a few of them, Juneteenth Day flags. The one that is official is the one that has a blue top, a red bottom, and a star in the middle, 5-pointed star with it, branching outward like a bling, And the Juneteenth Day flag is a symbol for Juneteenth Day in holiday in the U.S. The original flag was designated in 1997 by Ben Hurt, an activist and founder of the National Juneteenth Day celebration. The present version was first flown in 2000. The flag has a blue and red stripe, a white star in the middle, an outline of an arc that extends across the width of the flag. It symbolizes the freedom of our 4 million enslaved, our 4 million captive people, and for the hope of African Americans and African people displaced throughout the diaspora. So 4 million, probably at the time of Juneteenth, that might have been our population. But of course now we're 40 something million. And I don't know if they meant to put that in the paragraph as they talk about the flag. And then of course this one flag that has July 4th and it's X'd out Juneteenth Day 1865. Because I mean, you know, the 4th of July, and of course they celebrate the 4th of July on the 4th of July. You know, like they celebrate Christmas on December 25th, you know. So some of the things that is the day. That is the day. We don't do it every third this or second that or the last. That's the day. And just like African Liberation Day. I know that for some of us, well, there was some African liberation, not very big, you know, at all. That's what angers me, because African Liberation Day, as far as I am concerned, should be one of the biggest celebrations or biggest commemoration, to commemorate and to understand and to have workshops and conferences and so forth. And if you want to do something like that, you can do that too, you know. But what's most important for African Liberation Day is that you come together and discuss where are we in terms of African liberation. And after discussing where we are, how can we get to where we need to be, where we want to be, where we should be? How do we get there? So, yeah, African Liberation Day. The Juneteenth flag is a symbol for the Juneteenth holiday. In the U.S., first versions were created in 1997. Ben Heath, H-A-I-T-H, Heath, Ben Heath. Somebody said it was Caucasian. I think I looked him up, and he is a brother, but if I'm wrong, and if he is a Caucasian, I'm like, please. Because in 2000, the Juneteenth flag made its debut in a ceremony at Roxbury Dillaway Thomas House as a banner rose to the sky. Its creator recalled, "It felt like a child being born." In 1997, Ben created the first version of the flag with help from Lisa Graff. It has since been modified in 2000 and in 2007. Beginning in 2020, in the United States, several states' governors ordered that the Juneteenth flag be raised over the state capitol on June 19th. Yeah. Because I know that, you know, of course, you're going to put the American flag on top of it, but they're going to raise the Juneteenth flag underneath of it, you know. Of course. Hey, I ain't got no problem with that. That's this day stuff. Just like they've done, I've seen them do that with the red, black, and green, you know. You know. But the thing is, that's our flag. Juneteenth. It's not our flag. But it's to commemorate Juneteenth Day. And so, yeah. Yeah, because to me, the African flag, the Pan-African flag, is the one The flag that Marcus Garvey gave us, the red, the black, and the green, is the one that we need to wave, and wave it seriously. You know, because Juneteenth Day, I'm sorry, family, I know I don't sound enthusiastic about Juneteenth Day. I love Juneteenth Day. I love to celebrate it, you know, but it just bothers me that we took and put more into Juneteenth Day as a celebration. And of course, Caucasians do. Joe Biden made it a national holiday on the second or third Monday. I'm not sure which one it is. You know, let me get some calls in here. 443. Good afternoon. Or good morning, still.
Good morning, Baba Oshie. It's good to hear your voice.
Hey, my brother, it's good to be heard. Yeah, it's good to be heard. What's up, Herb?
You know, I'm always going to listen to you, listen to what you have to say every morning that I'm up. And I really appreciate that Inye say sin. I think I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah.
But Baba Oshie, I don't think you understand. I know it's Juneteenth, and I know there's a whole lot of things going on, but when you do something continuously, when you do something with repetition, it creates habit.
Right.
And that right there puts your mind in a place where you can wrap yourself around the struggle that we live every day, striving for our liberation, our sovereignty. And what it does is it gets you right. For me, it gets me right. And then on weekends when I don't get it, I search for it. I look for something revolutionary in thought, revolutionary in being, so that I stay in attack mode. Because this is a fight, Baba Oshie.
Yeah.
Even when we sleep,
yes,
the enemy is fighting us. Even when our children are being born or in the stomachs of our sisters, they already got something for them. They're building cells for them. They're putting them in a place where they have to live an unnatural lifestyle, and they say that this is the lifestyle that we've created for you, because the world is not just being flipped upside down. The world is going through what the world goes through. Everything comes around again.
Right.
So that's not act like this is something new to see these Caucasians running around here in skirts and grab kissing animals in the mouth, and stop acting like this. You know, I ain't never seen that before. Oh, we're in the last days. We've been in the last days ever since. Come on now.
They always say we're in our last days. Yeah, right.
And what you going to do about it if it is the last day? I'm going to replay tomorrow. No, you're not. There's nothing you can do because you're fragile. You don't have the power you think you have. You white folks are sitting there exerting your power over the whole world, thinking that you're getting trying to keep everybody this, there, and the other. But the reality is, Baba Oshie, and I'm going to stop after this, when you keep me in a cage, you have to stay down there and make sure I stay in that cage.
Right.
And so therefore you're in a cage with me. So am I in prison or are we in prison?
Mm.
And wouldn't it be easier if we worked together?
Yeah.
If we had cooperation and not competition? I don't want to compete. I want us to get along on this earth together and build things for the betterment of everyone. That's an African spirit. That's a communal spirit.
Yes.
But no, we can build guns and weapons and bombs, and then when somebody goes and shoots up your church meeting or your Bible study or your supermarket, you wonder, man, where they get that from? You know where they got it from. Every day this TV tells you to kill somebody. The internet tells you to shoot somebody, to hurt your sister, to hurt your brother. You know, he can't have more than you. I got to keep up with the Joneses. Who the hell is the Joneses and where they live? No, brother, we are in a good place. Brother Baba Oshie, thank you for letting me speak. I sent you a picture today from days gone by, back in the day when we was good looking, when we used to stand straight up.
When we had
the energy to run from the women. I was running, man. I can't stop me down.
Yes, I appreciate that, brother. We look good.
We were in the battle.
Yeah.
We were in the battle of the beast, and we didn't need him, and we had no fear. No fear.
That's
wasn't
right.
smart enough to be scared of nothing. Didn't
That's
know
right.
that we were dealing with a devil and a people
yeah.
that cared nothing about us. They cared nothing. They would have killed every last one of us if they could have. But they couldn't because we're protected, man. I'm telling you, this is God that I serve. And you notice I didn't say nothing about religion. This God mm-hmm. I serve
yep.
protects me.
Yep.
I have something that I have to do. I'm doing it. I'm respectful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God protects me because many have fallen around us.
That's right.
But we still move forward and we will keep moving. We're not going to stop. With every ounce of DNA in my body, I will fight until my last breath.
Right
so my people have sovereignty and are liberated, and we have the freedom that we should have,
right?
That we should have. And everybody knows that. Don't put me on that soapbox because I'll go on and on, brother. Thank you, Baba.
All right, my brother.
Thank you for letting me.
All right, hang on, brother. Peace. 470-470. Good afternoon. 470-470-445. Good afternoon. Okay. All right. But now, Brother Irv is on point as always, man. Appreciate him. Here's from the website. Let me see how this sounds. Let me see if I can get some sound out of this. Why Juneteenth Day is important to America. Let me see if I can get something out of this. Yeah. Why Juneteenth Day is important to America. Then after this, we'll take a break.
Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation for freeing slaves. But if we're being real, it only applied to slaves who lived near Union Lodge, where they could flee his or her plantation or take advantage of opportunities in the North. Around 500,000 black people managed to do this. These black people freed themselves. Juneteenth, or June 19th, is a powerful moment in black history, dating back to June 19th, 1865, the day Union soldiers led by Major General Gordon Granger went into Galveston, Texas, with news that the Civil War was over and Texas's 250,000 slaves were now officially free. Yes! 1865? That's a whole 2.5 years after Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. In those 2 years, black people's newfound freedom was rejected by white people. But General Granger bossed up and issued an order to the people of Texas proclaiming all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves. And the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. And Juneteenth was born. Our Independence Day. Our July 4th. Of course, it wasn't black and white like that. We weren't free. They just announced it. This new freedom sparked a violent backlash from white people. Surprise! Former Confederate soldiers, still in uniform and with guns, intimidated black people, continuing a new form of slavery. They did this by murdering, lynching, and harassing the freed slaves. Hashtag Reconstruction Era. But we are a resilient people. None of their intimidation tactics could stop our ancestors from accepting and celebrating their freedom. And they celebrated defiantly because you know white people were hating. The first public Juneteenth event took place in 1866. Former slaves read the Emancipation Proclamation, something pretty gangster to do in the 1860s South. They also sang spirituals and played games. The freed men and women of Texas took their celebrations wherever they went. Los Angeles, Oakland, Seattle, Chicago, Virginia, you name it. By the 20th century, the Jim Crow laws were in full effect. Freedom started to feel like a foreign concept, and Juneteenth celebrations didn't happen as often. But the fight to freedom had to continue. The Poor People's March of 1968 brought new life into the holiday. In 1980, Texas recognized it as a state holiday. And in 1997, Congress recognized June 19th as Juneteenth Independence Day. It's been over 150 years since the first Juneteenth. Isn't it time Juneteenth became a national holiday? It could be the blackest holiday ever. Barbecues, music, dancing, a celebration of being free black men and women. June 19th is not just about freedom, but the fight of our ancestors, the determination, and the consideration that one day their children, their children's children, and their children's children's children would be free.
The Root. Now it's from The Root. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, this.
America actually has two in the United States.
Sorry, family.
The history books have glorified Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation.
I'm going to take a break. I need a break. And when we come back from the break, we'll talk more about Juneteenth and celebrations and let you know where what's happening, where they're at. And maybe you can call us and find out what's happening in your locale as it concerns Juneteenth. You know? Because Juneteenth, man, is a commemoration that we definitely need to discuss. But just like they said, have barbecues and dancing and so forth. How did we commemorate? Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Sister Nell, I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father. I'm gonna color him love. I've got to color him father. I think I'll color this man love. Seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She said she thought that she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in. And now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father. I'm gonna color him love. I've got to
and love. He's just been so kind.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradio.com.
Yeah.
Black Talk Radio. Yeah. That was the Winstons, 1969. The Winstons. Call him Father. Father's Day is Sunday. And I know that in our community, there are sisters who say they should be celebrated. How foolish. On Sunday. Because the baby's father is not present in the child's life. The baby's father is persona non grata, missing in action. And that's why I'm such an advocate for family, a man and a woman raising children. Now, if the man and the woman has been my case, I've been married twice and divorced. But damn it, I've always and always will be a part of my children's lives. I've always supported them. I've always been there for them. And I always will be. So whatever uniqueness they might have in that family, but seriously, it should be a man, a woman together raising family, raising children. Someone said if you had 100 women and about 20 men, you know, on an island, you come back, that island would be deeply populated. You have, you know, 20 men and 100 trans. And you come back many decades later or centuries later. Yeah, that's right. Nothing but bones. We need family. The reason why we're in the sad state that we're in globally, is that we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conditions may not be bad. What did I do? I hope I didn't do something foolish. Man,
this call may be recorded or transcribed.
Man. Okay. I believe I'm back on. I hope I'm back on. Yeah.
Back on,
am I back on, Irv?
Yeah, you're back on, brother.
Okay. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how that happened. 470-470, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Ocean.
Yes. How you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I mean, well, you looking forward to this celebration of June 14th?
Oh,
June 19th?
Sure. Yeah, almost definitely. I'm always celebrating it. I'll always participate in it. And I'm just a little, you know, the fact that I always make mention that these Caucasians got 2.5 more years of work out of us, you know. And of course, that's what happened. But any time that we can come together, you know, in brotherhood and sisterhood and celebrate and commemorate what has happened to us. You know, I think we should always do that. But also, too, in coming together is the planning for the future, because we gotta look at what brought us here. Here it is, Juneteenth Day, 2023. And that's 100-some years after the 1865, you know, some 50 years. So what is our situation? Our situation, unfortunately, is not as good as it should be. And nobody could argue that, you know. And so.
Well, yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, we got to start making some kind of progress toward our liberation. And if it starts with us coming together and celebrating and commemorate, we got to be looking forward to the future as to how we move to liberation and sovereignty for our people. We got to find ways to come together and make those decisions and kind of move in that direction, because that's the only way we're going to find what we're in search of is equality, and equality is within ourselves.
Yeah.
And we got to find that. We can't leave it to someone else to find that for us. So,
no, we got to totally define that. I agree with that. I definitely do, brother.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you. So, yeah. So,
yeah.
I appreciate you, brother. You know that.
Okay. No problem, brother. I'll just call in and just tune in and check it out.
Right on. Appreciate it. Peace.
All right. Peace, brother.
Yeah. That's my main man. That's Brother Kwaku. Appreciate him. Sometimes he jumps on and gives. I didn't recognize the number right away because he got so many numbers. I'm glad he's here. But really, you know, definitely celebrate and definitely commemorate the event. But as I mentioned in the first hour, what happened to African Liberation Day? Even saying it gives you a perspective and a meaning. African Liberation Day. How the Organization of African Unity, later the African Union, changed it. Those Negroes in Africa changed African Liberation Day from what it was established, when it was established by Kwame Nkrumah and all those other leaders. Look up African Liberation Day and you'll see all of those Africans who at that time. Now, there was some misunderstandings, or at least some differing between two groups in terms of African liberation. But they understood that Africa must be liberated, because at the time, colonialism was still happening seriously on the continent, and they needed to be liberated. And then in this country, Africans are still going through a hell of a mental problem. We're fragmented. We're at each other. Nobody kills each other like we do. Many people believe or want to believe this is not Caucasians that have done this. This is us doing this to ourselves. We are, I hate this damn phrase. Ugh. Okay, Oshi. We are our own worst enemies. I hate that. Because no, we're not. And I'll argue that forever. No, we're not. The main enemy, the root cause of our problems is European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. That is the root of the problem. That is why we act the way we do. And for us, it is always trying not to liberate ourselves, not to gain independence and self-determination and sovereignty, but it's to get with white folks. Have Caucasians accept us. Have them allow us to live in this evil world that they created. That's what That's what we strive for. Caucasian acceptance. And allow us to be a part of what they have. Allow us to move into their neighborhood, go to their schools, have their jobs, be promoted on their jobs, instead of creating things for ourselves. And understand, it's not like the mindset, that's the mindset pretty much today, because what has happened is that the fear that they have put into us when we did create things for ourselves, what happened? What happened across this country? When we created something of ourselves in a neighborhood that was run by us, that was self-contained. That's right, family. The evil-ass crackers vamped on the neighborhood. Burned stuff down, stole, killed us, or put us in concentration camps or in jail. Poisoned the water. Them brothers and sisters in Elaine, Arkansas were meeting in a church. They don't give a damn about no damn church. They don't care about, there's no sanctity with these folks. There's some evil ass people. And so they fired on them. They fired on them. They were trying to organize. They, it's successful communities in this country, whether it was north or south, they ran the expressway through the community. And of course, if you are familiar with the Topographical Research Center, and if you're not, I believe you can be able to look that up. They told you what these expressways were about. They were civil defense. They could jump on the expressway and put that stick upside your head in 15 minutes, half an hour. They could mobilize. So, brothers and sisters, you know, as Brother Irv talked about the Inyasisim and some of the narratives and the sayings and the narratives that Baba Baruti writes, it's on point, and you know it. It's on point. It's hard for us to think in that way, because we don't want to think independently. We don't want to think liberation and sovereignty. We want to think acceptance and integration and sub-integration and assimilation and all that old bush. That's what we want to think, that we too are part of this great country. We too sing America. We too fought in all its wars. We too are the last hired, first fired. We too are the ones who have been miseducated, have serious health problems and health issues. We too have poor housing. Family, I'm going to do a piece on AI. I'm going to tell you, AI is serious. That's why I'm saying for us, we have to get the hell up out of here. This place is going to get worse. I mean, this place is, and not just really this place, but Western society. It's going to be deep how it goes down with BRICS. That's going to be deep. Let me get some more callers in here. Brother Paul, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Baba Ochi. I'm alive and kicking. I just give thanks for life. How are you?
I'm doing fine, dear brother.
So good to hear you.
You too.
It's June. It's Juneteenth, you call it today?
Yeah, no. Actually, it's the 19th. On June 19th, 1865, in Galveston, Texas, the General Granger, he had a piece of paper in his hand, you know, and he read to the brothers and sisters who had still been enslaved in Texas, the that the Emancipation Proclamation had been issued 2.5 years earlier. And so that signaled that at that moment, we were free. So that was the last, supposedly last group of us who were free. But of course, I don't know, Brother Paul, but if you can, of course, you're a researcher and you can do the research. After that happened, these evil sons of bitches went into another form of captivity, sharecropping, and even worse, convict leasing. They start putting us in prison and then jobbing us out to different entities, like, say, for the railroad. The railroad contacts the prison saying, I need, you know, 200 men, 200 American African men. And the prison would job us out, and the prison would get paid by the railroad. Of course, we wouldn't get paid. We would get tricked into saying, oh, yeah, well, we have a commissary here that you can get some cigarettes and a piece of candy or whatever. But then, of course, when you do that, you run up a bill. And so, therefore, you got to continue on in convict leasing. And they didn't give you, like, say, for instance, if it was a mine, they didn't give you the proper clothing for you to work in the mine, the proper shoes and so forth. You just went in there and the mine was damp. It was cold. It was wet. A lot of water. I remember there's a book called Without Sanctuary when it talks about convict leasing. And if you go to YouTube, you might get it off of YouTube, Brother Paul. But it came on public television. Public television. I can't remember the Caucasian who wrote the book Without Sanctuary. But it talks about it. And then one that really got me, because this sister was looking for her brother. Because what happens is you walking down the street and they would just take your ass. Or you're supposedly on a corner talking to some other ones and they get you for loitering. And they take your ass. And they put you in prison and then job you out to the railroad, to the mines, or whoever, to cotton fields or whatever. And you'd be doing that for a long time. So she was looking for her brother. When she finally found him, he was sick and he died. He died in a situation. So, no, you know, it's tough to deal with Juneteenth, understanding the seriousness of our situation, you know.
So, Bob Alchi, it sounds like under the contract leasing, that you, once you were convicted, when the person was convicted, they were turned into a slave because
yes.
they had no rights.
Yes.
And I've heard that under the so-called American Constitution today, if you go to prison, you have no rights. Is that
true? That's true. Yes. You can't vote, so forth. Right. Exactly.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yes.
So, in terms of the legal status, if you're convicted to go to prison, how much has really changed in that respect?
Really nothing. Nothing. You lose all rights. If you committed a crime or you've been convicted of committing a crime or they coerce you, because many times they would take people and they would beat a confession out of them. And that you've done it, then you've lost all your rights. You know? And usually, that's like, there was a, the Southern Poverty Law Center was instrumental in, not the Southern Poverty Law Center, forget them. The Innocence Project. The Innocence Project understood that there were many people who were railroaded into prison. And they have gotten, I don't know how many hundreds of people out of prison, especially when DNA evidence was beginning to be accepted, because previously it was this Caucasian's word against yours. And you know how that worked. You know, white woman said you raped her. And sometimes you didn't even have a trial. You were in jail. They came and got you out and hung you. Yeah. This is
yeah,
This is after the Emancipation Proclamation. That's why for a long time, Juneteenth was not celebrated, you know, was not acknowledged. Maybe in Galveston, Texas, where it initially happened, where at that moment in that place where the general was on that balcony, high balcony, saying that based upon the Emancipation Proclamation that should have been freeing you 2.5 years ago, but now at this moment, at this time going forward, you are free.
So Bob Ochi, was it originally started by Europeans, or was it started by African Americans?
Okay, Juneteenth Day was started by us as an acknowledgement. That was started by us, but the emancipation, because of the war effort, the Civil War, the Emancipation Proclamation was issued by Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
You know, but also, too, there was issues with that because, you know, that's only within Union states. That wasn't across the whole country because the South had seceded. So really, it didn't count. That's why the war happened, you know. So, but symbolically, you know, when Juneteenth, that we use that symbolically as our Freedom Day, finally, definitely, but not really. And, you know, I hope you understand. I'm not trying to be contradictory, but yeah. So let me get another call in here, Brother Paul. You just hold on, okay? Thank you, brother. All right. 202-202, good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Greetings to you, brother.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Rich? How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Hey, you know, you're absolutely right. And your perspective that you just announced is really what would lead us to a proper comprehension of our situation in this so-called... This is a goddamn prison.
Yes,
it's a prison.
Yes, it is. The prison of the mind.
Some people are literally... Yeah, some people, some of us are literally locked up to do and perform those very same tests that you mentioned earlier. You know, I mean, if you're in prison, you don't sit around, you work.
You work.
For free.
You work, yeah.
For free. So yeah. Those people are literally, I mean, all of us are slaves in one way or another. I mean, we got to work to pay the rent.
Yeah.
We got to work to pay the mortgage. You know, you don't get that as a subsidy to your existence because you're here or your parents were held in bondage or your grandparents. You got to work for that.
Work.
And not to say that we shouldn't work, but we should work for ourselves.
Right.
We don't work for ourselves.
And not only should we work for ourselves, but listen, even if we work for ourselves, we should work and get a livable wage, a fair wage. And see what happened with the imprisonment of us. What happened over time, many businesses were closing down because the new prison that was being built was shaped to do manufacturing, to do business. So you have all these laborers, these prisoners, and now
free.
And so now the let's say, for instance, here's a scenario. I used to tell this to the young people I used to work with back in Milwaukee in the high schools. Here's the scenario. Okay, you got a nice job, and your father worked there, and grandfather said, you have been having this job for quite a while. But then the owner of the job, you know, because of whatever reason, his profit margins aren't what they should be or could be. And so now he understands that the prison just opened, and he could job it out to the prison, and he could make money.
That's right.
See? So
that's
so he pink slipped all of y'all, okay? He said, y'all been with the company for many years, your father so forth, you've been good employees, but I'm sorry, I got to close it down. I'm not making the profits I'm supposed to be making. You know, a lot of stuff has been going overseas to China and so forth and so on, so I'm sorry. Have a good holiday. So now here you.
Yeah, and he drives away in his Rolls Royce.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and so now you're at a dude's house and y'all both getting blasted, you know, y'all mad and so forth, you know. And so a fight ensues. The police come and of course you have a previous record. You might be the three strikes and you're out a law, a plan to your ass. Yeah. So you go there. So
that's right.
You know, so now they put you in prison. You're going to be doing the same job in prison for 50 cent or a dollar that you was doing on the outside
for free.
Yes. And that's real.
Yeah, you're right, man. You're right. Yeah. And so many, oh, she is, you know, I really don't like to, you know, I like to listen. I learn much more when I listen to people. But I like to participate, you know. And
I'm glad you
where
do.
Where I think I can help.
I'm glad you do,
you know, where I think I can help. But, you know, the understanding of black people in America, they do not understand that this is one gigantic plantation.
Mm-hmm.
And it has always been.
And it always
until
will be.
We leave.
Yes.
Marcus Garvey told us to leave. Mm-hmm. We didn't leave. And if we had left, I started to write a story one time, and I may even complete it. I don't know. But what would happen? What would our situation be if we had left this place? I think it would have turned into literal hell, because white people cannot produce the things that black people have produced for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I am just convinced, man, our salvation is going to be, we either going to have to tell these people, take this, we want these five states, leave us the hell alone, we'll fight you, we'll die for them if that's what we got to do, or we're going to have to leave here, man. Yeah. And people much smarter than me have said that. In terms that are much more eloquent than what I'm trying to say now.
Right.
But we got to see, we talk about our past. We talk about how great we built the pyramids. That don't pay my rent. That don't pay my mortgage. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
What are we going to be doing 2 years from now? That's where I'm concerned. What are we going to be doing 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
The future, the present and the future is all that we have any real leverage to.
Well, that's you know, why.
It's wonderful to know where you came from. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's wonderful. But if we are not doing the kinds of things, see, white folks are going to different planets. We're trying to get to the liquor store. They're going to different planets. They're going and discovering different galaxies where they can go looking for a planet, if you will, that resembles Earth enough where they could go there and repopulate
mm-hmm.
or develop their own society. It's sad, man. And
Let me tell you what's sad is they fuck this one up. That's what's sad. Climate change is real. They messed this one up, and now they're going to go to another planet. And what was interesting?
Well, I wish they would go.
Yeah, I do too.
I wish they would take all of
them. I do too.
I would donate to that. I would sure as hell donate
definitely,
to that.
Definitely.
Get them off this planet.
Yeah.
Let us get this place back.
Yeah.
But, you know, realistically speaking.
Let us work back with nature. Let us work back with nature, because nature could correct all of this. Let us be in harmony with the planet and each other as human beings and develop this. Where you don't have to have all this money to live decently, have all this money to have good, clean food and good, clean water, you know?
Yeah, what other creature on this planet, Oshi, what other creature on this planet uses money?
Yeah, really. But humans.
Yet they exist.
Yeah.
Yet they exist, and they reproduce, and they have shelter. And they fight when you mess with them.
I've seen
four or five cats jump on a dog one time. You know, I mean, it ain't even got nothing to do with size.
No.
You know, it's got to do with what's in your heart, what you're willing to die for. That's where our liberation is.
Mm-hmm.
When we realize we're willing to die for what it is we want and actually put forth the programs that support that, then we have a possibility. It's like playing a chess game. You lose your rook and stuff early in the game.
Yeah,
but
it's
if you're
tough.
Smart,
but if you're smart enough, you can overcome
it. You can turn those pawns.
Yep, you can turn those
pawns. Yeah, you can turn them pawns into
That's
rooks
right.
if you're smart.
That's right.
But if you just say, oh, don't take my rook. Let's get some legislation. Oh, come on. Let's do it, man. I'm Oshi.
I hear brother. I hear you, Rick.
He's gonna make me cry, man.
Let me get him in there. Okay, brother. Go ahead, Irv. Thanks, brother Rich.
The brother said they going out of space and we're going to the liquor store. That one needs to be a T-shirt. But he's absolutely right. If we keep doing the same
you do that,
thing,
Rick, that should be on a T-shirt, results. Man.
if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to keep getting different results. And yeah. That's basically what he's saying. Baba Oshie, really quickly, you said you played something earlier where a sister said it's Juneteenth and we could have a barbecue and all this. And that's exactly what Irugu wants you to do.
Right.
He wants you to have a holiday and then run to his store
and
spend your money to get your hot dogs and your hamburgers and your GMO'd and y'all sit around and play music and shake your booty. And dance, and then go to work the next day.
Like
that's what
happened.
He wants. He don't. Yep. The sister didn't say, "Why don't we get together and strategize? Mm-hmm. Have a create policy."
Yeah, see, that's what fathead Roland Martin said on his commentary the other day on radio a couple of days ago. I was listening. He said, "Hey, Juneteenth Day should not just be another day where we come together and have those kinds of things. Although that's good, but also too, we need to strategize and talk about how can we." Make this Juneteenth Day more important for us economically. Can we find a way to support businesses and so forth?
You know, Baba Oshie, that proves my point that you take what you can from a person and you leave the rest. Roland Martin was absolutely correct in what he said when he said that. But then on the other hand, Roland Martin is doing the wobble with Hillary Clinton trying to get a job because he thought she was going to be president. So you have to take what you can take from these people and leave the rest on the table.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right in that. We need to do something constructive. Don't teach your children to go out and have a party every time white folks say you off for work. Yeah. Have something constructive so that you don't have to go to work. You can go to your business. Let's teach our children not to get a job, but to only work so that you can start your own business, so that you can be the boss, so that you can nobody can come to you and say, "Oh, you know, we don't need you no more because we're downsized."
Yeah.
You can't downsize when you own the business, and the business is a necessity, something that you need. Everybody got to wipe their butt. Why ain't we making toilet paper? Everybody got to brush their teeth. Why ain't we? We have chemists.
But Irv, you can buy those things from We Buy Black. They got toothbrushes, they got toilet paper. You know, but the thing is, they're so small. They would be big if we all supported it. They would be big. They would be big if we pulled our money together and established that supermarket here in Atlanta, Chicago, Baltimore,
and so forth,
and they'd compete with all those others. But no,
come on,
you know, let me.
No,
let me.
We have a barbecue.
Yeah, we got to go barbecue.
Why don't Juneteenth switch and be the day that we buy black? Why don't Juneteenth be the day that everybody buys good? Just one day.
Yeah.
Just one day you make it a point to go somewhere and buy something from black people. Everybody do that. 40 million people buy something from somebody black on Juneteenth instead of having a barbecue.
Yeah, huh? I love that. That's just like Mama Nabantu said about the African Liberation Day. Why don't we say if you're dressing up in African clothes, buy black. Make sure that the clothes, because a lot of the clothes are not made in Africa. I got clothes made in Africa. I got clothes made from Ghana. I got clothes made from Nigeria. But a lot of them come from China. They come from China. Shit. Let me get my brother in here. Let me get my brother in here.
Yes, sir.
646.
Yes, sir.
646. What's up, man?
Yo, what's going on, Irvin Oshie? Let me ask you this right quick. What day is Juneteenth celebration that they go give this Negro a day off? Is it Monday?
It's Monday.
Hold on.
It is Monday, you know, but I don't know if this country designated the day June 19th, because that is Juneteenth Day. It might be anywhere around there. So Monday is just like Memorial Day, just like Labor Day and so forth, you know, Juneteenth Day, just like Dr. King's birthday. is not celebrated on the 15th. It's celebrated close to that day possible. And so it's the same situation.
Hey, well, you know, listen, the Negro is happy because he's going to have a day off to shuck and jive and party and have his ribs and, you know, his potato salad. And, you know, hey, man, what could you do? The reality is this. We've been going through what we've been going through for hundreds of years, and we don't get the message. And it looks like we're not getting the message. I just looked at my news feed, and I see that the white man gave John Morant 25 games because that Negro ain't
playing. They gave him 25 games suspended. Oh, he'll appeal that and win.
No, he ain't gonna appeal it.
He's
no,
not.
That Negro accepting the punishment and say that he's gonna go to counseling and everything. That Negro sick, man.
But,
you know, the reality is he's a 23-24-year-old rich slave. That's
well,
all.
Well,
you know what I mean?
If you let others have done. Right.
The union, and what's so egregious is the union has gone along with it because mm-hmm. Master went to the union and what you call it, and now they're going to have them seeing some effing Jew psychologist or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, F him, man. I don't even pay him no mind, man. And the funny thing is, I got a young boy who I deal with that's gonna talk to me about it later when I see him probably, and I'm gonna have to school him because you know he's a John Morant fan.
Well, yeah, I'm a John Morant fan too.
I'm now gonna have to push up my education on him because the reality is this: you just a high priced slave, you have no knowledge and wisdom. You're stuck on stupid culture, that hip hop nonsense. Your friends that you hang out with don't really give a damn about you, because always remember it was his boy who put him in this situation. Now if I was in this situation and that was my boy, I'd give him a couple of dollars and tell him stay the hell away from me. That's what I would do. I'd totally cut him off. You know what I mean? Because number one, you don't have my best interests at heart. Number two, I know if I don't give you something, jealous and envy may lead you to doing something stupid. And then I'm really going to be in the world of trouble because I may have to eliminate you. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, give him $100,000 and tell him, look, man, lose my number. I don't want to deal with you or anything like that. That's how I would deal with him. Because this is ridiculous. But this is the situation that we in as a people, man. We don't control nothing. We don't manufacture nothing. We don't stand up for one another. We just in a sick quagmire. Now, I got a good one for both of y'all.
Okay.
I was hanging out with a friend of mine yesterday, and we made a stop on 125th Street, which is supposedly the Mecca of Harlem.
Harlem, yes it is.
You know, they got a statue. We were sitting at the statue of Adam Clayton Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And this brother, as we were, you know, our brothers get together and conversate. This brother said, because we were talking about different things, this brother said that Jesse Jackson has done more harm to black people than good. And I sat there, I didn't say anything. And I thought about it. And you know, the more I put it into total context, I would, you know, be more inclined to agree with him than I would not be.
Okay.
Now, I didn't say that. But when you put everything into context and the opportunities that Jesse had to move our people forward, the things that he did in regards to Martin Luther King, the things he did in regards to that whole presidential situation where he had an opportunity to leverage more for black people, the way that he has gone about manipulating situations for him and his family to benefit economically. That's why I got pissed off when I saw they had a GoFund for him. Now, how in the hell
they have a GoFundMe? They have a GoFundMe for Jesse?
Yeah, they have a GoFundMe for him, I think 2 years ago in regards to this Parkinson.
Right, because of his health.
Whatever he got. Now, mind you, nobody talks about the wealth that his family has. You know, to show you how devious and wicked he is, you know he got, I think, three sons, right?
I know he got two. I don't know about a third. I don't know. I know two of them.
This is my point.
I don't know his
family
that well.
This is my point.
Okay, go
ahead. He has two sons that you hear about, but he got a third son, Yusuf, that runs the show.
Okay.
That runs the businesses, the Coke, I think the Pepsi distributorship or the Coke distributorship, all the other businesses that he's used on the backs of black people to set up and financially enrich his family. See, people don't talk about the evil and the wickedry. So when I put it into context, he's done a hell of a lot to help his friends. But on the whole, he's done a lot of damage to black folks.
Well, him being an informant in that Dr. King situation and not became known as an informant is problematic, same as Al Sharpton. Any people who are siding with the government against our people, no matter what the situation, you know, have to be looked at with a serious jaundice eye, I guess, if you want to use that term. But seriously, I'm talking about evil eye on their ass, because you know, traitors.
Beyond evil.
Yeah, traitors deserve to be dealt with, you know, seriously. If you're a traitor against our people and you present yourself as somebody who is for our people, but in actuality are doing something other, you know, they need to be dealt with. But anyway, what were we talking about? We were talking about Juneteenth Day. And
well, listen, with Juneteenth, let me ask you this. Now, I know enough history, and I don't understand. I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't even understand how Juneteenth got to this position to where it is, to where now white folks are benefiting from it. Because I was always under the impression that it was supposed to be a black celebration. So how the hell it get to be now, as they call, a universal celebration where crackers and everybody else get the day off? I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I don't understand it.
Yeah, well, let me say it to you this way. They co-opt things, just like Black History Month, like all the other things. The European, he finds ways to co-opt it. And then next thing you know, you can buy Juneteenth stuff at Targets. You can buy Juneteenth stuff at, you know, Walmart or whatever. Because they co-opted. That's how they are. And that's what they've done. That's what they'll continue to do. Unless you say, no, this is ours. Just like they did with Kwanzaa, you know. But let me catch this call here, Brother Jay.
Sure,
just hang on, brother. Thank you. 602. What's up, Brother Marcus? How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good, brother.
Good.
Just so, you know, what Jay said about the time, you know. What we have to remember is that the system put up the term, but the people have to buy into the term. See, if when the people reject the term, the system reject the term too. You see, so they put the puppet up in front, you know, and as long as the people dance into the music of the puppet, it's fine. But once the people reject the puppet, then the system reject the puppet too and replace the puppet.
Right, they replace, exactly.
They go get another puppet and put there, you know. So, well, that puppet doesn't play it out. So let's go. So these people here, slick, right now they're doing that in Jamaica, where I'm from. The people up in arms against the government for what the government doing. But it hasn't reached a point where the people say, you know what, we need these people out of here. It ain't reached that point yet. Mm-hmm. So the king up there, and they say, yeah, man, let it stay in place, because they know the government grabbing, stealing, corrupt, but the government serving their purpose, and the people ain't up in arms. But once the people say, look, these people got to go, then you see they move in the UK, say, all right, yeah, you got to go, get them out, and replace them with some other, some other entity. Mm-hmm. But, as I say, we are on the rise. They can't stop it. It may look slow, but it's sure. So, anyway, that's it. That's all I got to contribute this one.
I appreciate you, Brother Marcus. Thank you, my friend. All right. Well, we got a few minutes left. We can take a more phone calls. If anybody wants to jump in, hit star twice. Brother Paul or Brother Brother Rick, anybody want to jump in? Hit star twice. If you want me to let you in, I can do that too. Yeah. Hit star twice if you want to jump in. Let me get Brother Paul. Brother Paul.
Yes, but thank you very much for it's very important that this conversation on this platform continues the way it goes, because communication is important, and this is a form of communication, and it's very interesting to hear the different views. It's very rewarding. It's food for thought, yes, and it must continue.
I agree.
It must continue, Roger. And you do a formidable job you do there, and all the people who contribute, the different callers who contribute.
Yes, I
helped
agree.
We helped to write another page, and this page it goes up in a digital format on something called the internet. And in the future, people coming will hear. They'll hear these pages, and they'll form their own opinions and their own views, and they'll have a record, and that's what's important as well, Baba Ochi, that they have a record.
That's right.
You understand?
I agree. I appreciate it, and I don't take what I do for granted. I'm really thankful that I have you brothers and sisters as listeners, and I have more listeners than what I even thought. Brother Kwaku helped me see that during. Time for an Awakening Brother Kwaku in the back room where they show how effective you are, what your radio program is doing, because I know for each one of you callers, there's many, many listeners, and I appreciate that for the brothers and sisters who are doing that, because what I want to do is give you the African, truly an African-centered perspective, truly an African feeling about what's happening in this country, what's happening in the diaspora, what's happening on the continent, what's happening in the world as it relates to us, and so uncompromisingly, based upon not my opinion. Once again, Brother Paul, this is not my opinion. I don't give you my opinion, because my opinion is profane. What I try to do is give you, based upon all my understanding of reading our scholars and our historians and the perspective that they have of many of those brothers and sisters. That's what I'm trying to do, give you that perspective, because I believe like they believed, many of them years and years ago, even to contemporary today, that this can't happen for us. This is not good for us. This is detrimental to us. And the sooner we understand that and prepared ourselves to get our ass up out of it, and soon as the brothers and sisters on the continent understand that, that's why I want to do this piece. And I know I'm quite sure you can help, Brother Paul. I'm gonna do a piece on artificial intelligence, AI. There's a fear because artificial intelligence is moving too fast. There's a serious fear. They did a piece on 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes is a magazine show that airs here in the States for many, many, for decades. But they take issues that are happening and they try to, present them objectively on what's happening. And that particular piece was sounding an alarm. On Facebook, I saw another piece dealing with AI sounding a serious alarm.
AOC.
Yeah. Yeah, Jay.
AI is no joke.
Exactly. That's my point.
AI is going to change the way that the world is because it's so sinister and it's so evil. And, you know, a friend of mine always says to me, B, watch movies. And they put it out there with movies.
Sure.
The capacity of AI.
Yeah.
AI could be a situation where AI controls itself.
Exactly. No.
You understand what I'm saying?
Not only AI controls it, AI develops itself. The programmer of past, his or her ass is irrelevant. The machine takes over. And the machine does all these nefarious kinds of things. You know, people are going to be out of jobs. People are going to be, I mean, it's going to, AI. That's why I'm saying
AI
to me.
AI is going to cause so many problems that it's unbelievable. And you know what the real crazy thing about AI is going to be? That black folks are not going to be
relevant.
A part of
That's
it.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, and in order to survive it, you're going to have certain skills. And this is why I always tell these young kids, man, you gotta, if you're not into technology, you gotta learn a trade. You got to, that's going to be the game changer and the survival for black people is these trades. Why you think they took trades out of schools? Why you think that they're doing what they're doing? AI, imagine
this. Let me say it to you. This is because of
with this one thing, OC. Yeah. Do you know the implementing of nuclear war and disaster of this country years from now will become of AI, will be because of AI? I'm futuristically saying that maybe 50 to 100 years from now, the destruction of this world will be because of AI.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just like... Go ahead, Brother Paul.
I just want to drop this piece in. I hear Brother Jay, and it's important to get that perspective. And I would like to join you on that. I don't have that fear-based perjective. I've been in this computer game. In electronics, it was a hobby to me, and I've been in it all my life. It's my world. You understand? And I really don't see it that way. I don't. Even now, there's so much. There is so much things I can do and achieve now that the only problem I have is just the time. And the problem is. Even young people, because I had a business with young people coming in all the time. But the problem is sometimes, despite their skills, they don't have the foresight. And that's the problem we have. We just don't have that imagination again, or that creation. They can be trained and they have the qualifications, but they don't have the foresight. I had them in my business. If you tell them something they haven't read in the book or they haven't been indoctrinated to in university, trust me, they don't get it.
Okay.
You can't make them see it. And that's a problem in itself. So what I'm saying is I don't really share that same fear Jay says, and I don't accept the things he's saying. Because I right now, the things I know is possible. I can create miracles, but I just don't have I haven't got the physical time. And if I work on something, which I work on a lot of projects, and then I find that all my life's gone. It just takes so much of your time. And when you try and bring in people, sometimes they don't see what you see, and they become a stumbling block as opposed to a contributor. So then it's getting the right people, and the right people know that they can go out and earn £30,000 an hour or £30,000. They can do that. You know? So it's very hard to get those people. And that is the real problem. The Siddiqui Bakari, I don't know if you heard of Siddiqui Bakari. He comes on Carl Nelson's show. When I listen to him, I really get elated because I think me and him are on exactly the same page.
Okay.
We see it the same way. And
not many people see it the way he sees it. Maybe the majority of people don't see it, but it's so exciting when I listen to him. He talk about transhumanism, which most people don't understand. And the bigger problem than the AI is transhumanism. It's not AI, it's transhumanism. And transhumanism is a movement which they're trying to create something like the Borg, where you're the like Elon Musk creating this Neuralink,
right.
Neuralink, which he wants to plug in your brain and connect.
And that's part of the AI, though, Brother Paul.
Well, that's transhumanism. Yeah. Transhumanism is really the bigger problem. I don't think AI per se is the problem. It's the transhumanism which is the real problem.
Well, listen, I can't argue with you now on it, brother. I'm going to tell you, you keep that thought, Brother Paul, and all the other listeners. My time is up. I got a dash. I got a very important appointment to make. So get ready to get up out of here. So I appreciate all those who called. And for those who have Juneteenth Day, go out this weekend and enjoy yourself. The Juneteenth Day at Centennial Park, Brother Bob Johnson. That's today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And, of course, for those like those in Milwaukee and Galveston, Texas, who celebrate Juneteenth Day on the day itself, of course, today, Monday, will be a national holiday of Juneteenth Day. So enjoy that day as well. Family.
Are you coming in Monday, Osi?
Of course.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe you want to stay home and celebrate, brother.
No,
I just asked you. Yeah.
No, I'll be in Monday. In fact, that's what we'll talk about.
You gotta write the shuck and jive.
I gotta write the shuck and jive. I hear you. All right, my family. Brothers and sisters.
Hotel.
We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. A good weekend of this Juneteenth Day weekend. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodier. Bibi Fahodier means our victorious destiny. Family, we will be victorious. You have a safe Juneteenth Day weekend, family. Peace.